Hello, I'm Lauren Bohane, and this is CSU Student News. Ongoing drought is continuing to affect much of the nation, and the Central West is no exception, with Bathurst's main water supply now predicted to last less than a year before it dips below its usable level. Bathurst Regional Council's Engineering Services Director, Darren Sturgis, has labelled July 22, 2020, Day Zero for Chifley Dam. In a report presented to the local council, Mr. Sturgis says water usage in Bathurst will need to undergo urgent change to preserve and extend the life of the water supply. He has recommended stronger water restrictions come into operation later this year. Bathurst local Alex Double says restrictions are a useful step towards preserving the water supply. However, everyone needs to play their part.
People need to stop being so superfluous with water. We had restrictions for a reason and stuff like that. And people are, you know, watering their lawns all the time. So businesses in town probably need to back off a bit too. Like restaurants in particular use ridiculous amounts of water.
Bathurst residents are currently living under Level 3 water restrictions. However, extreme Level 4 to 5 restrictions are expected to be put in place from mid-October. Mr. Double says it is up to the local council to make sure these restrictions are put into place and regulated.
Unless the local council does some serious implications, like restrictions and stuff to change it, then it's just going to be a complete disaster.
Along with more severe restrictions, Bathurst Regional Council is currently working to produce other solutions for the potential water shortage, including finding alternative sources of water for the town. Matt Sheepers looked into how Bathurst could learn from the water crisis in Cape Town, South Africa.
In January of last year, officials in Cape Town declared the city's water supply had just 3 months' worth of water left, leaving citizens and the city itself in a state of disaster. 1 year later, the water supply is still tenuous. However, the city thrived in excellence to combat the effects of the historic drought. But how did they achieve this? And with rural areas in New South Wales and Queensland facing a drought unlike any before, can we follow in Cape Town's footsteps to evaporate the ever-impending threat of a water crisis? Cape Town is a port city located on the southwest coast of South Africa, hosting a population of close to 4 million people. When the nation's officials announced the near-depleted water supply had just 3 months until running completely dry, they donned the date Day Zero. But the announcement of Day Zero was followed by a plan of action, which involved the introduction of harsher water tariffs and strict prohibition for heavy users. A harsh but necessary ban was placed on using municipal water for pleasantries, such as swimming pools, lawns, leading to a majority of people even installing artificial turf for their backyards. The city also implemented a more improved pressure system in water outlets in the January of 2018, which in turn led to the preservation of more than 10% of overall water consumption. The government also shifted a supply of water from the agriculture sector to provide more water to urban areas, with farmers following suit, diverting stored tank water to the city's supply. Within a year, the crisis was essentially averted. The announcement of Day Zero in January led to a 30% drop in water usage across the city. The people of Cape Town, however, remain cautious and vigilant in asserting their water security. Cape Town's efforts deserve nothing but praise, particularly from the citizens of rural New South Wales and Queensland, who have been battling one of the worst droughts Australia has ever seen. The Bureau of Meteorology claim it will take record high levels of rainfall over the next 3 months to provide much-needed relief to some of the most devastated areas. The farming town of Gyra, located near Tamworth, is facing a similar water crisis to that of Cape Town. However, Gyra has already run out of water, with the local dam evaporating to dust. The mayor of Armidale Regional Council is pushing to achieve what Cape Town has: harsher water restrictions and control, in hopes of changing mindsets regarding water security. Small towns and cities across Australia are doing their bit to ease the crisis, just like Gyra and other areas in northern New South Wales and southern Queensland. Bathurst itself has maintained Level 3 water restrictions since November last year, but due to a 10% decline in dam levels, there are pushes for even more extreme restrictions, including the prohibition of watering lawns, restricting the watering of gardens, and banning home car washes, much similarly to the efforts made in Cape Town. If we follow in the footsteps of those in Cape Town by changing mindsets regarding water security and implementing successful preservation measures, we too could avoid our own day zero.
That was Matt Sheepers with some suggestions on how Bathurst can combat its depleting water source. As the drought continues to bring challenges to the Central West, Bathurst is bringing some joy to its residents with the return of the annual Winter Festival. However, not everyone is impressed with what the festival has to offer. Caitlin Kurtz reports on the fifth year of the event.
Bathurst's annual Winter Festival has just concluded for another year, proving popular with locals and visitors once again. 2019's event was the fifth year the festival has been run, adding approximately $1.6 million to the local economy. Recurring attractions of the festival include an ice skating rink, giant Ferris wheel, and a two-story carousel. Light displays at several locations in the Bathurst CBD also proved popular, reflecting this year's theme of cosmic paradise. Nicole Whitcomb attended the festival on Wednesday the 17th of July and says she was particularly impressed by the illuminations of Makati Park's fernery.
It was beautiful. It was very pretty. Ooh. There was mist and stuff.
Several locations in the CBD were lit up with colourful displays, including the Bathurst Courthouse, cathedrals, the Bathurst Regional Art Gallery and Makati Park. The Bathurst Winter Festival was first launched for the town's bicentenary celebrations in 2015. It has become a successful annual event with local businesses and community groups invited to participate. Pavement art, children's workshops, tours, exhibits, and a variety of food options were some of the features of 2019's Winter Festival. Free ice skating was offered on the 17th of July for Charles Sturt University students, with many taking the chance to enjoy the rink and other festival attractions. Several festival nights featured food markets such as the Brew and Bite and Ignite the Night events. However, Miss Whitcomb says there was only one food outlet when she attended and she hopes for more options in future festivals.
Definitely need more food, but it was like one thing to choose from.
The ice skating rink drew some criticism this year as a Bathurst resident raised concerns about the rink's water usage. Bathurst is currently on water restrictions for the first time since Chifley Dam was established due to ongoing drought. Dam levels are currently at 44%. 20,000 litres of water was used to establish the rink, with only small additional volumes required to keep it in good condition over the festival period. Council representatives stated the water use for the rink was minimal compared to Bathurst's total water usage. The festival drew many visitors to the region and, judging by its recent success, will continue to return to Bathurst every year.
That was Caitlin Kurtz speaking about locals' concerns when it comes to the impact of the Bathurst Winter Festival, when water in the region is already so scarce. Heading in a different direction, and social media platform Instagram has recently removed features which allow users to view how many likes other users have received on posts. Kate James spoke to a local Instagram influencer about what this change will mean for her page.
Instagram has officially launched its trial in removing the ability to see the amount of likes on a post. The update is in an attempt to remove pressures from its users and to encourage people to share the things they enjoy without fear of judgment. Danielle Bazergi is a fitness coach with a current Instagram following of nearly 17,000 and believes that the removal of likes is for the best.
To be honest, I think it's a smart move. I think it was affecting a lot of the mental health for a lot of people for quite some time. And I've seen a lot of people that are quite affected by it, but I don't really see a harm in it at all. I think it's a change for good. And I don't think Instagram was created to focus on the likes. So removing it was a good thing in my eyes.
Research from the Australian Psychology Association has linked mental health issues with the use of social media, with many people feeling the pressure to post content that will attract the most likes, comments and attention.
I've seen how it can take a bit of a toll on some people, even like people in my close group of friends, which I don't think, like I said, is what Instagram should be about. And I think that there was a focus and an emphasis too much on likes for such a long time. So Instagram taking that away is definitely a change for good.
The reaction among Australian Instagram users has so far been mixed. Many are disgruntled about the change and argue that the change will reduce Instagram's appeal, particularly among those who use it to support their business. Others have applauded the move on mental health grounds, with many in agreement that likes and social media shouldn't be a defining point of your career.
Don't be on Instagram for the wrong reasons. Like, it's actually really surprised me that this is such a big deal to so many people. Like, I can understand if it would affect someone's business, but to be honest, I don't see how it would. And if you're purely on Instagram as an influencer, whatever you want to call it, but, like, you need to be able to support yourself and have backup plans as well, because who knows, like, social media might not be around forever.
The trial has been rolled out within Australia, New Zealand and Canada in the hopes that it will ease pressures with youth and make content more about self-expression, not validation.
That was Kate James on Instagram's recent decision to remove likes from posts. Fans of live music are set to rejoice as a number of well-known musical acts hit the Central West. Bill Ormond has the details.
Central West residents are seeing an influx of both national and international recording artists to the area. In the coming months, regional towns such as Bathurst will see a number of world-renowned musical acts perform. Bathurst RSL's Caitlin Previtt believes the venue is more than capable of hosting the bands, and she hopes acts will continue the trend of touring regional New South Wales.
It puts Bathurst a bit on the map. It would give people a bit more attention to Bathurst and probably make other artists and bands realise that we could do a show in a rural town like Bathurst and get a great deal of people coming to it.
Ms Previtt thinks this is only the beginning, with more and more large-scale musical acts bringing increased awareness and revenue to rural towns.
It definitely opens it up because the Rubens are pretty big in Australian music and Dragon were pretty big, and so it definitely gives Bathurst a bit more of a platform, especially when they're doing all their advertising for their tours.
Many residents throughout the Central West are lamenting the trend of DJs being used to replace bands and live musical acts. Team leader of student training and initiative at Charles Sturt University, Isabel Fox, believes there is a need for live music and has been encouraged by a student-led push to bring it back.
It's really good that the student representative councils and student services are supporting live music in the university entertainment schedule. I think it's really easy sometimes to have nights with DJs, but having live music, it's a really different feel, and it's something that I know people think it's really great to see bands coming and students enjoying that experience, because it's a very different experience to just a night with a DJ.
Not only does Miss Fox believe live music will be beneficial in bringing attention to the region, she hopes it will encourage emerging Central West musicians to stick with their craft.
There's still a call for live music in whether it be the university scene or the pub scene, or just making a space for those performances. It's really important for anyone in a younger audience or younger demographic who's interested in performing music and trying to make a living from it because it's something that they love and are passionate about. Things like Inland Sea or VanFest really make available opportunities for young people in regional communities to see a future and to start that future with these kind of big festivals or concerts that come out this way.
With a number of well-known acts hitting the region, Arts Out West's Christine McMillan says the connections made between local and touring artists could pay dividends down the line.
We have amazing musicians and visual artists in our region, but it's also really good to make connections with those other artists as well that come into the region, and it links musicians together so that they can actually go into more urban areas for their practice.
While local musicians are benefiting the most from the exposure and their interactions with popular musical acts, Miss McMillan believes music fans in the Central West are relishing the opportunity to see live music in the local area.
To have really world-class performances in the area, it's so much easier to go and see things in Bathurst than it is, say, if you're going to see things in the Opera House at Sydney. It's much easier for just practical things like parking, the price of tickets. It has really great advantages.
With a number of both national and international performers touring in the coming months, Central West residents are hoping the positive trend continues well into the future. Bill Ormond, 2MCE.
That was Bill Ormond on live music in the Central West. Meanwhile, organisations around the Central West have been the subject of a new funding program, which targets small community projects that miss out on large funding opportunities. Andrew Walden has the story.
Charles Sturt University's Community Partnership Grants Program has the goal of supporting the development of regional communities through arts, sports, education, Indigenous engagement, environmental sustainability and health. The program includes a total of $125,000 in grant funding and should support up to 100 different organisations. The grants, which are up to $2,000, have already seen benefits around regional areas, with organisations in the university's areas succeeding from the program. The first round of the program saw $60,000 go towards the many organisations, including the Bathurst Early Childhood Intervention Service, Bathurst Uniting Church, and Central West Gymnastics Orange. Mika Williams, a student at the Bathurst campus of CSU, says the grants are a great benefit for the community.
I think it's a great opportunity for students to be benefited and extend their learning by also local communities, which gives them more of a connection to like the funds they're receiving. So it's more of a personal and meaningful providing of financial funds for them.
Edward Dodds, another student at the Bathurst campus of CSU, argues that the money spent on the grants could be used in more important areas.
I'm not quite sure why Charles Sturt University are funding it. I know they want to build relationships with other things, but shouldn't the money that Charles Sturt has go to, you know, the people that are paying, they're the ones that are in Charles Sturt University?
The Community University Partnership Grants Program is now in its second round, with other community groups encouraged to send in applications before the 9th of August. If you would like to make an application to receive funding for a project or to find out more, go to about.csu.edu.au/community/grants.
That was Andrew Walden reporting on a new funding program set for Charles Sturt University. Still at CSU, and residences and clubs have been working to raise awareness for mental health throughout the Central West. Max Barnum reports.
As of 2016, suicide figures within the Western region rated higher than the rest of New South Wales. With this, clubs and residences at Charles Sturt University have begun a real push towards mental health awareness in support of Headspace Bathurst. The CSU Mitchell Rugby Club recently played their annual Charity Day fixture, while John Oxley Village kicked off Tit of Week on Monday, ensuring students are aware that talking is totally fine. Job Head resident Edward Smith has played a large role in promoting Tit of Week.
Tit of Week is an important week that we run on John Oxley Village, and it's about promoting the idea that talking is totally fine. So what we do is that we, as the residents, we all come together, and we really promote the idea that if a student is struggling and they need to talk about anything, that they can come to either the RAs or anyone and making sure that they're getting the help that they need.
With the John Oxley Village Res Life team helping to host an array of events for Tit of Week, all with the aim to promote awareness.
We're also able to run a morning breakfast where we raise money for Headspace, which was good, where we had where we saw mainly people just donating money because they thought how much of a great cause it was.
Prior to Tit of Week, the Mitchell Rugby Club took on the Narromine Gorillas in their New Holland Cup fixture. The match was celebrated as their annual Charity Day, an initiative run by the club for several years. Mitchell Rugby Headspace representative Cameron Norris understands the importance of mental health awareness in the Central West.
Headspace means a fair bit. Mental health is a massive issue in the Central West, and as being a young male from the Central West, I see how it affects young boys. I used to work at a school, so I used to look after boys that dealt with mental health issues. I know boys that have sadly taken their own lives from mental health. So I think it's a massive issue in the Central West, and Headspace is something that we need around all around Australia, but also in the Central West.
The day saw the club raise over $5,000 for Headspace through donation tins and the auctioning of charity jerseys worn by the women's side. The club also doubled the day up as a family and sponsors day, with long-time member of the club, Marcus Burrell, speaking volumes for how successful the day was.
I love family day. It's good. Like, my parents are here. It's always good for all the families to come down. The charity jersey at the end, I think we've all lost someone to the big black dog every so often, so it's good to come together today, remember it. We do the charity, we give back, and hopefully we can get rid of mental health and fight over it. So it's good to see the parents, and it's good to get around it.
Both John Oxley Village and Mitchell Rugby have gained large traction and success from these events.
That was Max Barnum on the work CSU clubs and residences are doing to promote awareness of mental health. And in sport, the CSU Mungos are hoping to take home a major win this weekend. Bridget DeSetto interviewed the team's Kyle Madden on Saturday's match.
The CSU Mungos Rugby Club have claimed the new era minor premiership, with this club scoring 9 consecutive games without loss after last Saturday's win against the Orange Barbarians. The win has sealed a minor premiership for the club and a home major semi-final this Saturday against the Portland Colts at Diggings Oval. Today I have Kyle Madden joining me on air, who plays prop for the Mungos. Thank you for joining me today, Kyle. Essentially, the Mungos have claimed the new era minor premiership. What does this mean for the team?
It's super exciting, actually. The last few years since I've been here, we've kind of fell short, or there's been a bit more of a dominant team. So to have that positivity and excitement around all the playing group is super excited, super exciting.
So going into the semis this Saturday, what are the boys' main focus against Portland and how are you going to achieve this?
Against Portland, we do always rely on our forward pack a bit. Like, we've always got, you know, players like Billy and Groomy and stuff running out and doing really well. But against Portland, it's a very forward-dominated game, and then the backs kind of need to do their work straight after. So hopefully we can kind of get through the grind and come out better than them.
So what has been the team's greatest challenge this year?
Team's greatest challenge, probably that holiday period where we all go home for a bit. And, you know, we were coming to games with 17, 18 players and, you know, you'd get too injured on the day and you'd have to finish out a game with about 16 players and no depth, and you just lose your structures because key players might be at home or have other commitments they have to get to. So that does make a really tough time for the team.
Are there any injuries on the team that may affect how you guys play on this weekend?
I think we're actually getting a few coming back from injury this weekend. We had a few, you know, Sam Groom starting fullback, Josh Byron, who hurt the ligaments in his ankle. And we had, you know, a new first year, Darcy Abel, do like a slight fracture in his knee. So I think a lot of those guys are actually coming back this weekend. So we're kind of getting past that injury period that we seem to get every year.
So what will the win on Saturday bring for the Mungos?
The win on Saturday will be huge. If we win on Saturday, we'll get a home grand final at Diggings Oval, which hasn't been done since 2014. The last 2 years that I've been here and we've been in this situation, we've lost and managed to have an away semi-final at grounds we're not really familiar with or really like. So a win this weekend will be huge for the club and could be could make a bit of history.
So just talking about your two grand finals that you've played, what will the grand final do for you personally and for the boys of Mungos?
I think it'll be really awesome. A lot of those older third-year players who've kind of, like third, fourth, fifth-year players who've been in a few, to really come up short the last few years has been pretty tough. You know, to have to come back from those grounds and be pretty sad about it. I think winning this would be awesome, being able to say that you won a premiership. Like, a lot of those old guys that do come back and watch can't really say that. So I don't know that you were, you know, a key cog in the whole wheel of winning this premiership's really exciting.
Awesome. So thanks for joining me on air today, Kyle. Good luck to you and the boys on the weekend.
Thank you.
That was Bridget DeSoto speaking to Mungo's prop, Kyle Madden. My name is Lauren Bohane, and you're up to date with CSU Student News.